1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626, and online, you'll find us at jimbotalk.net. Well, baseball is back. Oh, I know it's not real baseball yet, but spring training games have gotten underway, and that's kind of cool. Just the fact that the American pastime is returning after the long, dark days of winter, among other things. It's a great harbinger, of course, that tells us that spring does beckon, and it's also, quite frankly, a kind of a fun thing to contemplate the American game, the great baseball game. For the record, we should note that games have gone. Red Sox have been playing today. They had a split squad with some college games this day, and the Red Sox routed Boston College 11-1 in the second game of a doubleheader today. They beat Northeastern University in the first exhibition game of spring training by a 3-love score, as it were. So, with that in mind, and the fact that, we have so much tradition associated with baseball, once you get past a certain age, we don't really play it. Oh, if you're a professional, you do. But really, once you get pretty much past high school, I mean, you just don't play. Oh, you may play an occasional beer-laden softball game someplace. But baseball? Grown-ups don't play baseball. Or do they? Well, let's talk about that tonight with Scott Green, the president of PlayAtThePlate.org. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Jimbo. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and glad to have you on tonight. What is PlayAtThePlate.org?
Play at the Plate is an organization that runs adult baseball events at spring training sites, minor league parks, historic baseball stadiums, and since 2009, major league baseball parks.
Wow. What a thought. And all these middle-aged people are going out there and requiring liniment and splints and tape and stuff.
You know, actually, they're a lot better off than you'd think. I mean, we're very fortunate that our group, or most of the players that we get, are still active baseball players in local leagues around the country. So there's more than a lot of people think. It's not, I mean, I was a softball player for years, and then I found a couple organizations that played some baseball, and I got back into it, but there are organized leagues in just about every big city in America, and we draw from those guys, and they're still good players, and they love what we do. We give them a whole baseball experience with a locker room and laundry service and, you know, bringing them to a major league park. You mentioned the Red Sox, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, over the course of the interview, but our crowning moment was we were the first organization in the 100-year history to be allowed to play there.
And other than the Red Sox themselves?
Yeah, we played at Fenway Park for a day.
No kidding.
And it was great, and that's what we provide to our customers. But there is a hardcore still playing baseball group out there in America that still loves to play the game.
Well, that's very encouraging to hear in this day of virtual everything and sit on our duffs and watch everything, to know that people are actually getting out there and swinging bats and throwing and catching balls. That's very encouraging. Now, all the stuff that you've talked about there, and major league ballparks and the like, and laundry services and the like, these do not come cheap. What does it cost to be a member of PlayAtThePlate.org?
Well, every event, Jimbo, is different in a sense that we're in, right now we're in New Orleans this weekend. We have a team-oriented tournament, which is very competitive. Guys come down as a full team. They get charged a team rate, which maybe only would cost them a couple $100 a head compared to going to Fenway Park, where it would cost them $1,500 for the day. So every event is different and priced accordingly. Depending really on the venue rental and what our overhead is, but there are different markets and different things that we provide. So we are providing to different markets. There is a competitive group of baseball players in this country, usually guys in their late 20s, early 30s, who have played college baseball, some former, you know, double-A players, you know, minor league players,
right,
who still want to play and still want to go to a venue that is, you know, top class, that we're playing at Zephyr Field this weekend in New Orleans. They'll come in, their name's on a locker, they put their stuff in it, they play a couple games, they throw their 30 uniforms in the bin, and it gets washed and cleaned. They'll show up tomorrow morning, and it'll be ready to go, and they'll play for 4 days. And then there's other groups that just want to have the experience of playing in a major league park, where we do not stress the competition level. We want you to have the experience of playing in Cleveland for 2 days and have a great clubhouse and have the guys shine your shoes and be treated like a major leaguer.
So I probably didn't maybe phrase that question correctly when I asked how much it costs. I guess there are two ways it could cost here. One would be to fans, who presumably there are people who will pay to see this, and the other would be the participants themselves. I mean, I assume the participants aren't making money off of this, are they? I mean, aren't you?
No,
you're paying for the privilege of playing, right?
Well, the only people who actually come to watch what we do are usually the players, wives or children or whatever. You're not going to sell tickets to see what we do.
Exactly. So it's kind of ironic, is it not, to be playing, say, in Fenway Park with a crowd of, 200 people would be pretty optimistic, wouldn't it?
It's very good. That's about what we had last year. But just the fact that you're on the field itself and you're playing. I mean, I went to the plate. I bat left-handed. And all I couldn't stop thinking that Ted Williams stood here a thousand times. And that's what our customers want. You have to be a real baseball addict to do what we provide for you. So you've got to be into the history of the game. These are guys who, you hear it so many times, God, I would have given anything to be a major league ball player, but just to be able to come here and do this is, I've had guys cry on the field. I mean, at Wrigley Field, I had people crying that, they're on, standing where Ernie Banks stood. So it's a different mindset, but they pay to play. We provide them with a great product. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, did you park one over the Green Monster?
Two guys did hit the Green Monster on a fly, and it was great. I will tell you, though, and I have to tell you this, I will never forget one experience or one moment at Fenway when my son, who plays some ball but doesn't come to many events but certainly came to this one, we were having a long catch. I was in left field, and he was in center between innings just warming up. And just like having a catch that you would have in front of your house with your loved ones, and almost simultaneously, we both put our arms out as to look where we are right now. And it was a moment that I will never forget as long as I live. And it was just having a long catch in the outfield on a beautiful Saturday morning at Fenway Park. And I'll go to my grave with that great memory.
Wow, I can imagine. What does it cost? Let's say you want to sign up for this.
Wanted to go to a place, just to give you two examples, you can go to Cleveland for 2 days. Play 4 games, be on the field for 10 hours, the whole clubhouse experience, lunch made by the clubbies, it costs you about $700. If you went to Fenway, Wrigley, the iconic stadiums, it's probably going to cost you about double. We have a tournament in Palm Beach, and we're going back to Jupiter, Florida, to Roger Dean Stadium for our 10th spring in about 6 weeks. You get the whole clubhouse experience. You'll play 7 games over 4 days. You'll get 1 game in the stadium. And that's about $500. So it's moderately priced. We don't look to gouge anybody. We want to make X amount of dollars. We have a markup that we have to make. But it's a great experience. It's one-tenth of what they call a fantasy camp. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have gone to
fantasy camps. Yeah, I'm going to come back and talk about fantasy camps in a moment here. What do the stadiums charge you? I'm sure it ain't free.
No, they're not free. I mean, Fenway was a large 5-figure number. We'll just leave it there. And Cleveland's a little bit moderately priced. PNC in Pittsburgh was a nice number. So it depends on the venue. You're not going to play at Wrigley, Fenway, Yankee Stadium without paying for it.
Yeah, so you can pretty much forget the company softball game there. What about the qualifications? I mean, I'll put it this way. You wouldn't want me out there. I was a terrible ball player when I was in my teens and my 20s. I mean, I assume that to have any kind of quality to these games, that there must be some rough equivalence of talent.
Well, most of the players are still playing, but we don't put any criteria on what experience you need to have to play with us. I mean, if you told me, listen, Scott, I haven't played in a long time, what would you suggest? I would tell you to come to one of the Major League Park events because the competition level is not stressed. It's just the experience, and I would tell you to go to your local batting cage, get in the medium cage, and just hit some balls and throw the ball around a little bit before you come. And you're going to have a great experience. You'll have a great experience regardless of what your ability is.
All right. Stay with us. More to come. This is a fascinating idea. Play at the plate. org. Scott Green is president of that, and it's a chance for grown-ups to keep playing the American game. What a wonderful idea. 1-866-50-JIMBO is the number. 1-866-505-4626. We got to tell our boss about this. Seriously, both of our bosses. We mentioned this last night, but two gentlemen named Bart and Howie both need to know about this. I mean, seriously. 1-866-50-JIMBO, and we'll be back.
Take me out to the ball game, sung by Edward Meeker, Edison Records. Casey was baseball mad, had the fever and had it bad, just to root for the hometown through every Sioux. Casey Blue. On a Saturday, her young beau called to see if she'd like to go to see a show, but Miss Kate said no. I'll tell you what you can do. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Yes, sir. From 1908. How about that, Scott Green?
It's the greatest song in the world, Jimbo.
It is absolutely the greatest song in the world. It certainly is. So let's learn some more here. How many people take part in the playattheplate.org?
Again, it varies. If we go to a major league park, we try to keep the number down to somewhere around 50 or so. We'll have four teams of 12 or 13 guys, so everybody gets ample amount of playing time. This week in New Orleans, we have six full teams that are playing over the course of the 4 days. In Palm Beach will be our biggest one. We may have up to 200 people this year for still all play seven games. We have a multitude of amount of fields that we can use. So, again, every venue, everything really changes. There's no really set amount of how many people we can take to any one event.
And I gather the big thing that you offer would be the major league venue, because there are other groups out there like the Men's Adult Baseball League, MABL, NABA, the National Adult Baseball Association. But these people don't get to play at Fenway or Wrigley, do they?
Probably not, unless they went to a fantasy camp and they get that little sniff as part of the package. But no, we're pretty exclusive as far as that is concerned. But again, we draw our players from those leagues, from MABL, MSBL, Roy Hobbs, NABA, all great organizations.
There's a league called Roy Hobbs?
Yeah, there's a league. I think they're based out of Ohio. They play some big tournaments in Fort Myers. Played in their events. They're very well run. But you don't get the amenities. It's basically you're dressed in your uniform, you drive up to the field, you play very competitive baseball, you get back in your car and you drive back to the hotel and you do your own laundry. I think it just lacks the baseball experience that we offer.
Yeah.
But, a very, very well-run organization as the others are.
Yeah. And, how many people signed up for playattheplate.org?
I would say I think our client base right now after 10 years is close to 2,300 people have actually played with us over the course of the 9 or 10 years we've been doing it. I think we'll have that's our 10th anniversary in Palm Beach this April. I think we'll have close to 200 players that'll come down. We provide them not just the amenities that we've mentioned, but we try and find a hotel that's willing to give us a good rate and, more amenities for them and try and keep it as convenient as possible. We're very conscious of trying to make the whole experience convenient, not just giving them a great product, but, being close to an airport, not having a lot of travel time, getting a good hotel at a good rate. Are we going to get a free breakfast? And, we try and give them as much as possible.
Any ballparks ever turn you down?
Oh, sure.
Go ahead, name names.
we made some calls, or for whatever reason, I cannot get the Baltimore Orioles to say yes or no. I don't know what the deal is. In our very first year, we went, they actually called us, and I think we were dealing with the Maryland Sports Commissioner, Sports Authority, who actually own Camden Yards, and they won't tell you yes, and they won't tell you no. They just don't call you back. So, we would love to go there. Another fine organization and a lovely man, Bill Giles Jr., has actually called us from the Phillies, and we've tried to pitch it to him a couple of times, but they just don't want us on the field. And that's, you have to respect that. To some clubs, I mean, this is their cathedral, and our guys are going to play on it, and we don't want anybody on it. But being, you know, saying that, you know, we've played at Wrigley, we've played at Fenway, we've played in Pittsburgh, we've played in Cleveland, we've played at Chase Field. I do, by the way, I run Major League Baseball's corporate fantasy camp at the All-Star game, so we're pretty reputable. No one's ever said, hey, listen, you know, we don't want you back. Yeah. So I think some doors are opening now and will continue to open, but those are two parks in particular which we would love to play at. So if you guys are listening out there in Baltimore and Philadelphia, we'd love to be there.
Yeah. How traditional are you guys? And by that, I think of course, the tradition of baseball as the designated hitter walks up across the artificial turf to the plate to swing his aluminum bat under the dome.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, there's no way an aluminum bat will ever be used at one of my events. Okay,
so it's what about that other stuff? Artificial turf, dome, stadium, designated hitters. How do you do?
Well, we do. What we do is first of all, we are a wood bat league, and today just by chance, we played three games at Zephyr Field, and thank goodness we dodged a very dodgy forecast here and got the games in. But the last game was played at an auxiliary field, which was all AstroTurf. And we allow, of course, what we call a rubber banded lineup. So if you sign up for one of our events, you're going to be put in the lineup. And if just by chance the number six hitter, for instance, is the last batter of that game, the number seven hitter would lead off tomorrow. So no one gets buried at the bottom. Everybody gets the same amount of at-bats and playing time. So there are some amendments to the actual rules, you know, the strict rules of baseball, because we have to be client-friendly and do it. But we pretty much, you know, free substitution here and there, and we actually have some tournaments that we call modified rules where there's no stealing or advancing on pass balls and things like that. Usually the older guys will play in that category. But, you know, there are some amendments to the strict rules of baseball, but it's still baseball.
Yeah, all right. Very good. You got to bring your own glove, your own bat?
Yes, you'll bring your own equipment, your own glove, you know, bats. You can wear pretty much any uniform you want to wear, but you must wear a uniform. I'm not going to let anybody on a major league field in a pair of sweats and a T-shirt. That'll never happen. It's just you have to have respect for where you're playing. We always have products to sell at the events. We have a bunch of bats, of course, and batting gloves from different companies and sunglasses. And most teams that come as a team will dress in the same uniform and come, you know, dressed as a team. But we have a lot of guys, and it's amazing to see, Jimbo. You see the guys come in the first day, and they find their locker, and they start unpacking their bags. And I can think of one guy in particular. And he's been coming to my stuff in Palm Beach for 10 years, and he's going to pull out 8 or 9 different uniforms that are just plush, sweet, beautiful, all major league stuff. And he's going to play those 8 games, and he's going to go back and change into a different one every game. So we're dealing with some hardcore people here.
Boy, apparently. We'll come back and learn some more about that and take some calls as well. 1-866-50-JIMBO. 1-866-505-4626. Adult Baseball. We'll be back. Was the greatest man who ever played the game, greatest player. That's what they all say. But the Whammer would disagree, I'm sure. Maybe you weren't the greatest player who ever played. But if you enjoy the game, there is still hope for you. We have some calls here for our guest, Scott Green, president of playattheplate.org, starting with Paul in Butte, Montana. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, hi. What if you stink? Like, well, I haven't played since Little League, and so do you throw me in right field and know I'm not going to be able to throw into the infield, or...
Well, we brought that up earlier, but Paul, it was, Paul, I have to say that Scott was a little bit encouraging, actually, for you. Go ahead, Scott.
Paul, all you'd have to do is, if you signed up for an event, all you'd have to do is you're going to have to practice a little bit if you haven't played in a while. Find a batting cage or an indoor facility of some sort. Go into the medium speed cage, 50, 60 miles an hour. It's going to take a little time. You know, put some quarters in the machine, start swinging. More importantly, stretch, throw the ball. Believe me, you'll have a great time, especially if it's a major league venue. I mean, it's just a great experience to come. Would I say come to one of our competitive team-oriented events? Maybe not, but we have different markets, and you would enjoy yourself regardless.
Okay.
Might be worth
checking out. I'm an Indians fan, and Jacob's Field.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the best thing we have on our menu, and I've told people this weekend, is playing at Progressive Field, playing at the Jake. For $6.95 for two full days, the hotel's across the street from the players' entrance. You come in, your name's on a locker. The greatest clubhouse attendance in baseball. One of them has become an extremely close friend of mine that maybe we'll talk about in a little while. Who does Lego portraits? They're unbelievable, and it's just a great experience. And if you did a little practice and you had, you know, and you're physically capable of playing, you'll have a great experience.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Check it out. Again, that's playattheplate.org. Good luck, Paul. Screw up your courage, my man, and see if you can't get the ball back to the infield. Steve in Saugatuck, Michigan. Hi.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
We're well. Are you a Tigers fan?
Yes, I am, and a Cubbies fan.
Okay.
I lived in Chicago for quite a few years.
A Northsider.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely, yes. There are no Cubs fans on the South Side. Except for one man. I knew one man who was, and he lived a very dangerous life. But go ahead, Steve.
Well, up here in Michigan, we got a league up here that is an old-time baseball league. They play by, like, 1875 rules.
Oh, yeah?
Which is no gloves. It's all bare hand, period uniforms, period terminology. And it is just fascinating to watch.
What's it like snagging a line drive at shortstop without a glove?
Well, it is.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. It is interesting, but it's really neat to watch.
I've heard of. I don't know if it's your league in particular, Steve, that I've heard of, but I know there's one or two in the country. I think Jim Bouton, the ex-Yankee pitcher, plays in one of them. And is a real proponent for it. And just to do anything like that, I think is fabulous.
Yeah, there's a book written. It's called, A Kingdom for His Game or A Game for His Kingdom. And it deals with the Civil War. And the premise of the book is that this group of Confederate soldiers and this group of Union soldiers happen to meet in a field and play a game of baseball. And it's just a fascinating story.
I'd love to get a hold of that.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you might have a chance to play in Wrigley Field here. You got to check this out, Steve.
Well, I remember going to Wrigley Field and being a bleacher bum and paying $4.50 to sit in the bleachers and watch a game.
I'll have to ask how you got paid. Granted, the bleacher bum seats are... in the left field are cheap, but I never knew that they were negative cheap, that you could make money by sitting there. Who paid you?
Well, nobody. Maybe I misunderstood.
You, in other words, you paid $4.
I paid like $4.
Yeah, okay. Nobody paid you $4. Okay, I misunderstood you there. But
I have to tell you, Bo, when we went to Wrigley Field in 2009 or 10, I had people, one gentleman from the north side of Chicago, who went out to shortstop and was literally had tears running down his cheeks and hugged me. I only met the guy that day because he was standing where Ernie Banks stood.
Yeah.
And if that's the kind of experience you want to have, if you want to feel that power, it is an amazing thing to do. It really, really is. And we're very blessed that we're maybe the only company in the country right now that can can get parks like this.
Yeah. You know, I understand, Steve, actually, that if you stand in the outfield at Wrigley Field, hidden in the ivy is the ghost of Lou Brock. Oh, did I touch a nerve?
Well,
okay, I admit it. I'm a Cardinals fan. Okay.
You know what? Jimbo, we have something very much. I live and breathe the St. Louis Cardinals. A lifelong Cardinal fan from New York.
There was a commercial on TV they had just a few months ago where they pulled Andre Dawson out of
that.
The ivy.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a funny spot. Funny spot. All right, well, check it out, Steve. I really think you ought to do that. PlayAtThePlate.org. You sound like an ideal candidate for this group of folks. Now, before we go to the break here, I got to ask you about the Lego portraits. What's this story?
His name is Wayne Peltz. He is the assistant clubhouse attendant in Cleveland, and he does portraits in Legos, and I you can look them up online. Just go to Lego Artist Cleveland, and he actually did a beautiful, being a lifelong Cardinal fan, he did a beautiful portrait for me that I commissioned from him of Stan Musial that we sent to Stan last year that he signed.
Oh, boy.
And it is now on display, or will be, starting, I think, March 2nd next week. It is going to be on display at the Hilleridge Bradsby, the Louisville Slugger Bat Museum. They have an exhibit called, I think it's Baseball and Blocks or Baseball and Bricks. And they found out about the portrait, and we just sent it to them a couple weeks ago, and it's going to be on display in Louisville for, I think, 6 months. But Wayne is a fantastic artist, very, very affordable. I've got him some commissions. He did an Eli Manning portrait. He has the core four Yankees above the clubhouse of Jeter, Posada, Pettit and Rivera, and they all signed it, and he was offered a large amount of money by Steiner Sports to sell it, and he wouldn't. Yeah. But it graces all the clubhouse. He's had former players have their portraits done by him. So I implore anybody, if they want to see something really unique, just go to Wayne Peltz, P-E-L-T-Z, Lego artist, and his work is amazing.
Sounds like a pretty cool thing there. Although I grew up in Missouri, I get back to St. Louis maybe every 20 years, and I happened to be in St. Louis for a radio meeting the weekend of January 19th.
Let me tell you something. As a matter of fact, I'll send it to you. I'll get your email address. But my two prized possessions, Jimbo, are behind my desk in glass cases, and they are a 1944 and a 1963 Musial uniforms, both of them autographed to me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not going to lie, I had a good cry. So, we played just last week, or 2 weeks ago. We were at historic Al Lang Field in St. Petersburg. And I had the same kind of feeling when I went up to the plate, knowing that Stan had stood there for 24 years every spring. And I'm very happy to see that he got the national recognition in his passing that I don't think he got in the last 30 or 40 years.
He did not. In the last 30 or 40 years, probably the most underrated baseball player, I think, in Major League history.
When you have the all-century team and he didn't get voted on it, I don't know how the fans missed that, but a lot of young fans just didn't get it.
They haven't heard of the man. I've got the autographed baseball, suffice it to say, and I will just tell a quick story here before we go to the break. I had Hank Aaron on this program one time, and asked him what was the most impressive thing he ever saw on a baseball diamond. And he said it was the All-Star game of, I'm not sure, 55 maybe it was. It was the extra inning game and the bottom of the 12th.
In Milwaukee.
Musial was leading off, and Aaron said the Musial picked up a bat, walked past him and said, I'm going to end this right now, and parked the first pitch over the left field fence.
I think the quote, actually, since he died, I think the quote was, we're not getting paid to play extra innings.
Yeah. So, suffice it to say, the guy was a great player, fantastic player. More to come on the Bohannon Show, and we'll be right back with our guest, Scott Green, president of PlayAtThePlate.org. Stay with us.
Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn, so down on the corner the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie. Mickey and the Duke.
Yeah, absolutely. The great names. Another great name, by the way, from this past day. I don't know if you heard about this, Scott Green. Joe Garagiola.
Really?
He has retired as being a part-time TV analyst for the Arizona Diamondbacks at age 87.
Wow.
Held a news conference at spring training and said that was enough. And so some of the great names are moving on.
By the way, he wasn't a bad ball player either, by the way. He wasn't a great ball player, but he had a couple of really great moments with the Cardinals and a couple of World Series back in the 40s.
He was no Bob Uecker, but...
Who was?
Must be in the front row.
Yes.
All right. I'm curious. I understand that you have a Roger Maris, Mark McGwire connection.
Actually, it's a great story. The very first ball game, I grew up in Whitestone, Queens, and when I was 6 years old, the very first game my father ever took me to, he worked for U.S. Steel at the time, was Roger Maris's 61st home run. And I saw that. I was only six, and I do remember it. I remember we were about eight rows behind a Yankee dugout. They were pushing him out for a curtain call, and he was very reluctant in doing it. And then 37 years later, being a lifelong Cardinal fan, I was going to make it a point to go to St. Louis for that weekend, and I saw McGwire hit 60, 61, and 62.
Wow.
And then, arguably, I am the only person to witness both of those events. And my brother, who is a copy editor, a sports copy editor for the Newark Star-Ledger, had a writer with him at the time, Mike Vaccaro, and he happened to tell him about it. And the next morning, after we witnessed 62, Mike called me up, and the title of the article is From Maris to McGwire, Baseball Still a Blast for Eyewitness to History. And there may have been somebody else, but I've never heard of it. So it was a great moment, and I later got to meet Mark McGwire several times. I became a very close friend of my daughter's, and genuinely kind. And we could go into that if you want to, but I think he was unfortunately victimized a little bit when baseball really needed him, and now they've turned it back on him.
Well, I mean, of course, he was, what, the hitting coach for the Cardinals, and I think he's now a hitting coach for some other team.
Yep, he went to Los Angeles, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah. So be that as it may, nonetheless, there have been some great names over the years at these various fields. Have you asked about playing at the Washington Nationals ballpark?
Right? Actually, we did a couple of years ago when they first built the park. The number was pretty large. We will approach them again, certainly. And we have a nice clientele down in the Maryland, Virginia area that I know would come to it. Just some parks just want a large number, Jimbo, and it's just you're not going to be able to sell it. You've got to have some disposable income to do what we do. Certainly in the past 9 years, I will tell you in the past 4 or 5 years, we have witnessed a little bit of a demographic change that we're not getting the 35-year-old, you know, good ball player with his wife and two kids to come down to Palm Beach for the 4 days. We're getting a little older group, you know, more professional guys or whatever. But it really depends on what the venue wants to rent it to us for. And it's such a no-brainer, really, concerning the clubs, because one is your club is on the road. We can't play there if your club was home. So we hopefully what we'd like to do is always go in on a Monday or a Friday and witness the last game, go to buy tickets, witness the last game of a homestand, and then we go and run around the field for 2 days. You don't need to hire any additional staff. There's nobody else needed. There's special events departments in every single major league club. And it's just what you want to let us run around. And some of the clubs are prohibitive in what they want. And some don't want you, and others do. So it's, you know.
I'm wondering about the teams. When you're a person who wants to play here, do you just make up ad hoc teams? Do you just choose sides?
If you came by yourself, we would place you on a team like we did. We had 5 or 6 guys who flew in from various parts of the country this week. And they're making new friends, and we'll place them on the teams with some of our New Orleans buddies. If you came with a group of people, you would certainly play together. Palm Beach is like that a lot. We'll get some teams, a half a team, and we're putting guys here and there and here. And you know, I don't want to play with him. Get me him. And, you know, the word gets out as to who's good, who's not good, who's a pain in the butt to play with or whatever. But usually the criteria that we place or make teams is always age and is available pitching. I mean, pitching is a big commodity in this market.
Yeah.
So,
where do you get your umpires?
Actually, another great story, and I hope she's listening. We have a lovely woman, Perry Barber, who was the second woman ever to do Major League Spring Training games. I think she's doing three Met games this weekend at Port St. Lucie, but Perry takes care of all our national bookings. The group that we have down here in New Orleans, Lloyd Guillot, we've been using for 5 or 6 years, and Perry comes down and umpires with him. But Perry will usually handle, she just knows everybody, and she'll call up the local umpires association, whatever city we're going to, and she'll arrange that for us.
Take a break here. We're going to come back with more from Scott Green. He is the president of PlayAtThePlate.org. I suspect more than a few of you out there have maybe picked up that old glove out of the closet. Just thinking, maybe. We'll be right back. One of the great moments in the film, I think.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's the best baseball movie ever. I don't give a hoot what anybody says.
I'd have to go with that. And there have been some fine
baseball.
You know
why? Because he could play. Robert Redford could play the game.
He played college ball, if I'm not mistaken.
You could see it. And the guy, well, I hate to say it, he was a natural. He could pitch. He played well, and he had one hell of a swing. So it's a great story, and it's still my favorite baseball movie, hands down.
I guess was it Gary Cooper who played Lou Gehrig?
Yes.
Do you know the story of how they filmed that?
Well, you know what? I just read something about that may be a myth, but apparently the myth is or isn't that he was so horrible that he couldn't bat left-handed that he batted right-handed, and they would put the Yankee uniform on. You know, it was in reverse NY or whatever, and they filmed it backwards or whatever.
That's the story, yeah.
Yeah, but I read something just I think last week that may be a myth that he was just terrible the way he was.
Fair enough. All right. So what are your plans for the future here? Expansion?
We'll keep plodding along. We like to run somewhere between 8 and 10 events a year. We try to mix it up. I mean, we have certain events that we're always going to have. We come to New Orleans twice a year. We're here now. We'll be back in October. Palm Beach certainly is our baby. It's our big event. And then the Major League Parks, we try and keep it fresh. We play to Pittsburgh every other year. We'll play in Cleveland this year. Would like to get to St. Louis and some other places. So, you know, we try and give our customers something diverse and different. And, I mean, sometimes I get a little spoiled. Anyway, I need a couple guys to come to Cleveland. I already did that. Get something else. It's like, you know, it's not that easy.
Have you ever played at Cooperstown?
We have a great event at Cooperstown every September. We play at Double Day Field. As a matter of fact, I was playing. That's how I got back into baseball. I was playing with another group years ago. And I just didn't think they were doing it well. And
yeah,
experience up there. It's still a great place to go. I mean, we get a lot of New Yorkers who come up for the 3-day weekend, and we go in mid-September when the town's closed. The demographic has changed due to a large youth baseball facility they have up there, so the summer times are a little tough to go. But September is a beautiful time, and usually right around the pumpkin festival they have.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's a great fun thing to do, and I must confess, I am going to personally pass this along to the two people here in this office. That they've been to fantasy camps. About 20 seconds. Tell me about fantasy camps. Are they as much fun as they're cracked up to be?
You know what? First of all, yes, they are. I mean, I went to one years ago that was billed as a Cardinals fantasy camp, which turned out to be mostly a Phillies camp, and I still had fun. But it's, for me, the quality of baseball is just really poor. I mean, the guys who play it, but, you know, most of the coaches are very, you know.
Well, we're going to have to wrap on that note. Stay on the line. Scott Green from PlayAtThePlate.org. I'm Jim Bohannon on the Dial Global Radio Network.